Well, let's turn in our Bibles tonight, if you would, to the 100th Psalm, Psalm 100, as we're continuing our study in the book of Psalms, and we've made our way now to the 100th Psalm, and I trust this Psalm, though it is familiar, will be a blessing to you this evening, and that the Lord will use it in your life. I remember as a child, and during that time in our lives, we were homeschooled. And I was probably about 7 or 8 years old, and my mom had us memorize this 100th Psalm together, and I still remember the words of this Psalm. They're very dear to me, and I trust tonight that you'll be encouraged by these five verses. The Bible says here in Psalm 100, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." This particular psalm is sometimes referred to as the Old 100th. And in the old Psalters, the tune is a familiar one, one that you would readily recognize. This particular psalm has as its theme the thanksgiving that is owed to us or owed by us to our God. And truly tonight, as I think about all that God has done for us, we of all people should be a thankful people. The praise of our God should be common speech among us. And tonight I want you to consider these five verses and think with me about the response that we should have towards a good God who has demonstrated His mercy towards us. Verse number one says simply, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Make a joyful noise. The joyful noise which is spoken about in verse number one is not a song, it is a shout. The noise that is referred to here, and we certainly speak sometimes of our singing and say that we ought to make a joyful noise, but really in this passage it's speaking instead about a shout of triumph. The shout that is referred to here in verse number one is the type of cry or shout that would go out from a victorious army when they have been triumphant in battle. When they would cry out with exuberance and with jubilation and excitement at the victory that they have won. And so the psalm says simply, make a joyful noise. I want you to think tonight, do you know there's nothing wrong with being vocal in our thanksgiving and in our praise to God? You could interpret that vocal as loud. Now, I'm not suggesting that we be rude or that we try to turn the attention to ourselves in a service, but there certainly is nothing wrong with lifting our voice and crying out with thanksgiving to the Lord. Sometimes we are reticent. Sometimes we are quiet in our praise and in our thanks, more so than we ought to be, because we're embarrassed or because we don't want people to notice us or perhaps because we're afraid of what others will think. But there is certainly a place for us to cry out and to make a joyful noise. I trust that you'll take that to heart in your life. Some of you were beeping the horns in some of the services where we were in our cars. And you can bring some of that inside. Now, don't beep your horn, but when we get back inside, you can say amen. And we'll enjoy hearing what the Lord is doing in your life. Make a joyful noise. But notice that this noise is directed unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. The shout of triumph and praise is directed to Jehovah and Jehovah alone. Now, it is significant that the name that is used here is the Lord Jehovah. His name is repeated all through Psalm 100, and it draws our attention to the fact that He is the great I Am, that He is the self-existent one, that He is the God who depends on no one and no thing, and we ought to lift up our voice of triumph and praise and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Too often our praise, our noise, our shouts are for the benefit of other people. They're so that other people will notice. But that's really not the focus. The focus is making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Have you ever been driving in your car just by yourself and got to thinking about all that the Lord has done for you and thinking about how good he's been to you? Have you ever just had the inclination right there in your car to say, well, praise the Lord, even though nobody's listening? If you're wondering, I have. So make a joyful noise. And joyful noise. Levi's making a noise over there, and that's all right. That's no problem. But we need to make some noise. We need to lift our voice to the Lord and worship his name. We're so thankful for all that God has done for us. He's going to talk about our thanks here in just a minute. Let us make a joyful noise. Isn't it something that the older we get and the more reserved and probably proud and concerned about what people think, the quieter we get about the things of the Lord? And again, I'm not suggesting tonight that we ought to somehow draw attention to ourselves, but really we're trying to draw attention unto the Lord by making a joyful noise unto him. But then you'll note in verse number 1, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. This particular psalm was a psalm for the Jewish people, for the Hebrews who would worship in the temple or the tabernacle. But you understand tonight that this applies to you and I. And what a blessing it is that we have been made partakers of the covenant. We've been brought in as those who are grafted into a tree. We've been given the opportunity to be recipients of something that God promised to others. We ought to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, even though most of us here tonight are Gentiles. Most of us would be from these other lands that are spoken about in verse number 1. No matter where you come from, no matter the color of your skin, no matter your culture or your background, if you know the Lord, you have something to be thankful for, and you ought to lift up your voice and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Don't you think it's going to be a marvelous scene one day when people from every tribe, tongue, nation, and people group will be gathered around the throne of this Jehovah, and we will be praising him because he is worthy, because we have been redeemed, and all of us will join our voices together. What a wonderful experience that is going to be. And that we ought to be careful to give God the praise that he's deserving of tonight by making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Not only make a joyful noise, but he says then in verse number 2, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Now, you'll note here that not only is there a need for us to praise the Lord with our mouth or with our lips, but there is a need for us to worship the Lord with our life. There is a need for us to be involved in serving the Lord. You'll note there, again, that the title which is used is the Lord, speaking about the fact that he is Jehovah. He is the master. We are the servants. And when I thought about this and I was meditating on verse number 2, serving the Lord with gladness, I thought about that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 31, which reminds us that we ought to do all to the glory of God. Whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, we should do all to the glory of God. You know, no matter what it is that you're involved in, you ought to do that for the glory of God. You ought to do that as it were, unto the Lord and not unto men. When you go to work and you put in your time there on the job, you ought to make sure that you're not being a man pleaser, but that you're serving the Lord and honoring him in the way that you conduct yourself on the job, in the way that you fulfill your responsibility. Serve the Lord. Make sure that your service is offered to the Lord. Now, oftentimes we serve other people, and in serving other people, we have the opportunity to also serve the Lord. We ought to make sure that our life is about the service of the Lord. Have you noticed how easy it is to structure your life in such a way that you are serving yourself, that you are doing the things that you enjoy, the things that you want to do, the things that you want to accomplish? And we ought to ask, first of all, is this what the Lord wants me to do? Is this how the Lord would have me serve him? Is this what the Lord wants me to be involved in? Tonight, can you honestly say that you are doing everything for the glory of God, for the service of the Lord. I hope even tonight, as you've come to this service, that you came not just to see people that you love, but that you came because you wanted to serve the Lord, because you wanted to please the Lord. You wanted to be faithful to the assembly. I hope that tonight, as you're listening to this message, that you're listening for ways that you can be faithful in serving the Lord. Serve the Lord. But notice there in verse 2, how are we to serve the Lord? He says, serve the Lord with gladness, not with reluctance, not with holding back, not with giving the bare minimum, but rather serve the Lord with gladness. We ought to be careful not to serve the Lord with grudging, but with gladness in our hearts. I'm reminded of that psalm that we looked at the other on Sunday when we were praying and worshiping the Lord. And one of the verses in that psalm spoke about, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And you know, that ought to be our attitude. We ought to be glad when we have an opportunity to serve the Lord. We ought to be glad when we have an opportunity to be a part of what God is doing in this world. Serve the Lord with gladness. What a privilege it is for us tonight to be able to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a privilege it is for us to be able to invest our life in that which has eternal meaning. What an opportunity and a privilege it is for us to be able to give our life for the service of our King. And we know that our King will recognize our service, and one day He'll reward us for that service. And what a privilege that is, that we can serve the Lord, and I trust that you'll serve the Lord with gladness. Tomorrow, as you go about your business, may you ask of the Lord, Lord, what can I do to be involved in serving you with gladness? Maybe when God brings that difficult person across your path that you need to minister to or that you need to interact with, you can see that as an opportunity to serve the Lord with gladness, to show Christ to them, to be to them a testimony of what the Lord is like. Serve the Lord with gladness. But then notice he says here, come before His presence with singing. What a privilege and what an honor it is for us to be invited into the presence of the Lord, to be able to come and to be, as it were, before the Lord, for Him to offer us audience. When I think about being invited into the presence of the Lord, I'm reminded of the scripture that that tells us there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And we realize and recognize with humility tonight that the only way we possibly could come into the presence of the Lord is because of what Jesus has done for us. And this should make us all the more grateful and thankful that we have the opportunity to come into the presence of the Lord. In a little while, we'll have an opportunity to bring some requests in prayer before the Lord. What a privilege that will be for us to be able to come and bring our petitions before the Lord. But we recognize we have no right to be there in His presence. We have no right to demand that He listen to us and that He hear our prayers. It's only because of Jesus and what Jesus has done for us that we can come before His presence. We could not come were it not for Christ. But you'll notice here in verse number 2, He commands us to come. Come before His presence with singing. Now I ask you this question tonight. Why would you not come before His presence when He has commanded you to come? Why would we neglect such a wonderful opportunity, such a gift that God has given to us to be able to come before His presence with singing, to worship Him, to be a part of lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus? Why would we not want to do that when we are commanded to come and invited to come? And I'll say there's only one reason, and that's when sin gets between me and Him. When I'm ashamed to be in His presence, or perhaps I'm too busy with my selfish interest to come into His presence, I need to put those things aside and come before His presence. But notice how He says we are to come. Come before His presence with singing. Now, a part of our worship is the wonderful offering of songs of praise. And I think tonight, God has given us a special privilege. I love to listen to the songs of creation. Lately, We've been noticing we have in our front yard a very old Japanese maple tree. And in that tree, just next to the porch, there's a nest with some little baby birds. And the mother bird and the little baby birds were really carrying on today. And they were singing a song. If I'm quiet for just a second, you can hear the birds chirping right now and singing a song. So they have a little song that they sing, and all of creation is involved in worshiping the Lord. And it reminds me that they are giving the praise to God that He's worthy of. But we, as these special creatures that God has made, man and woman, created in the image of God, we are given a very special opportunity that none of the rest of creation has, and that is that we can lift our voices in a way that the rest of creation cannot, and we can praise God with our song. Now, you tonight may not be all that impressed with your voice. You may not think that you've got much of a voice to be able to praise the Lord with, but I want to say to you tonight that if you have any voice at all, you ought to praise the Lord with your voice. Because I'll tell you this, you may not be impressed with your voice, but if you're singing with a heart of worship, He will listen to your voice. He wants you to come before His presence with singing. I think sometimes it does us a world of good in our private time with the Lord, in our private devotions, to just begin to sing some of the old hymns and to think about the words and to direct those words and that tune to God and God alone. Sometimes it does us a world of good to come before His presence with singing. Now, it's a tremendous privilege when we can gather together as a church family and we can lift our voices and worship God together in our song as a church family. By the way, I'm looking forward very much to that when we get inside, and I'm enjoying singing with you out here, but it's not the same as being in there where we can hear one another and we can worship the Lord with our voices. But you know, there's also something to be said for coming individually with our song and directing our song of worship to the Lord. And so He says, come before His presence with singing. Bring song as a gift for the Lord. When I think about singing, sadly, what most people think about when they think about songs, music, and singing is, what music do I like? What music moves my body in a way that I like? What music makes me feel good? Do you know that's not the primary purpose of music? The primary purpose of music is to be worship towards God. Now, I recognize that music has an effect on our emotions. It has an effect on our thoughts. It has an effect on our body even. But that ought not to be the first consideration. The first consideration ought to be what would be pleasing to the Lord. Let's come before Him with songs that accurately reflect His glory and are directed to the Lord. Come before His presence with singing. So we need to make a joyful noise, and we need to serve the Lord. But then notice, third of all, in verse number 3, we need to know that He is God. The Bible says here, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. That word know that is used in verse number 3 means to ascertain or to know with assurance. It has the idea of being assured of something because you have seen it. Because you have experienced it, because you have seen it with your own eyes. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. What you have experienced in your life is that the Lord, He is God. This could be said of every human being on this earth. Everyone should recognize the fact that the Lord is God. That the Lord is the Creator. You say, well, I know of people who don't recognize that, and they don't believe in the existence of God. Well, I understand that, but the Bible says for them to get to that point, they have to be willfully ignorant. They have to deny some things that are clearly written in the world around them and are even written on their own heart. They have to turn their back on those things that they know. This is what we call innate knowledge. The knowledge of God is innate. It is written within our heart. You don't have to teach someone to believe in God. You have to teach them to not believe in God. We naturally believe in God because we are creatures who are made in the image of God. And the knowledge of God is written on our heart. Tonight, know ye that the Lord, He is God. He is Jehovah, and He is the one true God. There is no other God with whom He shares His glory. He is God alone. This God is the Lord Jehovah. You say, well, that seems a little bit exclusive and a little bit selfish. Well, it is a little bit exclusive. It is very much focused on the one true God. You say, well, what about all the other gods? Well, there's one God. There's one true God, and He is the Lord Jehovah. The Bible makes no apologies for this. The Bible makes no provision for any other way of worship. The Bible says the Lord is the only one. He is God. Tonight, if you know the Lord Jehovah, the one who is spoken of in the pages of Scripture, then, my friend, you are privileged to know the one who is the true God. Isn't it a blessing tonight to know that you can know Him who is the true God? Know ye that the Lord, He is God. And then He says something very interesting in verse 3. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Something that we note in the Scriptures is, there is no such thing in the Bible as a self-made man. We hear people talk today about being a self-made man. Oh, there is no such thing as a self-made man. The truth is, whatever you are is the result of lots of other people's inputs, but most importantly, it is God. If you have anything good in your life, it's because of God. It's because of God's goodness to you, and we'll see His goodness in a moment. But the Bible says, it is He that hath made us. Now, this speaks about the fact that God has fashioned us, or He has created us, and we're told in the Scriptures that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Did you ever stop and think about how many intricate systems in your body work and must work all together in perfect synergy just for you to take a breath, just for you to exist? You think about the way, for instance, that your blood moves through your body. You think about the way that air enters your lungs and refreshes the oxygen in your blood supply, and how your heart pumps your blood, and all of these things that go together. Listen, you shut off the air to your body for just a short time, and there's going to be severe damage. There's going to be a big problem. But think about all the systems that work together just so that you can take in a breath of air. During allergy season, I think a lot about this because it's harder to breathe. Isaac and I went for a jog yesterday, and we both said, boy, it's hard to breathe while you're trying to jog out here. It's hard to get enough air because of my allergies are so inflamed. But you know what? It makes you thankful that you can breathe. And then we think about who is the designer behind all that. Well, I'm going to tell you tonight, that didn't happen by random chance and process. That wasn't a millions of mutations that ended up with you being able to draw air and convert the oxygen to the energy that you need for your body so that you can survive. That's a miracle of God. That's the design of God who has made you in a fearful and wonderful way. Tonight, understand that you, by the very fact that you are here, you are blessed by God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. But then I think, not only did He make us in our first birth, and what a privilege it is to be alive, to rejoice in life. I hope you're thankful for the life that God has given you. But you know, He also made us in the second birth. He gave us life eternal. And that was not of you. That wasn't your works that made you right with God or somehow made it possible for you to be forgiven of your sins. That is all because of Christ. That is all because of God's work. That is all of grace. Tonight, thank goodness, thank the Lord who is goodness Himself, that we can have a relationship with Him. If it was up to us, we could never save ourselves. We could never work enough and do enough good works to please the Lord. Where would we be without Christ? It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. If you're here tonight and you have some character, you have some blessings in your life, all of that is because of God. All of that is because of God's hand in your life. And because of that, he says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, he makes two statements. We are his people and we are the sheep of his pasture. That phrase, we are his people, speaks about the allegiance that should be given to him. When he uses that term, his people, literally that word means we are his tribe. We are the people who are called by his name. That's one reason why I like that title that was given to the believers in the book of Acts, Christians. Because they were followers of Christ. They were identified as those who followed after Christ. That's a good way to be known, as a follower of Christ. Names are important. Our allegiance should be given to the Lord. We are his people. Do you know tonight, if you're a child of God, your identity should be wrapped all up in him. You ought to have a hard time describing your identity and who you are apart from your relationship to him. If you leave that part out, you're leaving out the most important. We are his people. One of the most important things that people ought to know about us is we are followers of Jesus Christ. We are the people of God. Our identification is all wrapped up in him. Our allegiance is given to him because we are his people. But second of all, our dependence is upon him. Because it says there in verse 3, and the sheep of his pasture. Now sheep require a lot of care. Sheep don't really survive well by themselves. They need someone to take care of their needs, to feed them, to make sure that they are taken to water, to make sure that predators don't get after them. We are the sheep of his pasture. The psalmist reminds us that we are completely dependent upon the Lord. Do you know tonight it is healthy and it is appropriate for us to recognize the degree to which we are dependent upon him for all that we require. We are dependent upon him as sheep are dependent upon their shepherd. We are the sheep of his pasture. By the way, we know from Psalm 23 that he leads us to good pasture, that he provides for our needs and he cares for us. And thank the Lord that he is a good shepherd. Know tonight that he is God. So we make a joyful noise. We serve the Lord with gladness. We know that he is God. Number four, we enter into his gates. And verse 4 says, we should enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. The gates that are spoken of here in verse number 4 speak of an entrance into the place of worship. Just like in order to go into the building, we would need to go through the set of doors that are behind me. And then we could go into the building. Thus, the gates were that which were on just the outer edge of the place where a person would go to worship God. No doubt, the gates that are spoken of here would have been speaking about the entrance into the temple, the doors that would have led into that place of worship. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. But when I look at that word enter, it speaks to me of intention. It speaks to me of purpose. In other words, you really enter into a place when you intend to enter into that place. You make a decision to go in, and so you then move to go into that place. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And I mean to say tonight that there is an intentionality concerning worship. There is a need for us to be intentional in our worship of the Lord. We should enter into his gates. Worship is something that requires thought. It's something that requires effort on our part. It's something that requires us making an investment of ourselves, of our time, of our energy to give worship, to ascribe value to the Lord. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You don't accidentally end up in the place of worship. This is something that is intentional And you'll probably have noted in your life, it's something that if you don't plan to worship, you never will get around to it. There'll be all kinds of other things that'll get in the way, but you're not going to end up accidentally entering into his gates with thanksgiving. But we notice that when we come into his gates to the place of worship, we should come with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving obviously speaks about that which we are grateful for. It speaks about that which we want to thank God for. We want to give thanks to him. Thanksgiving is not just a day in November when we have turkey and some other special dishes and get together with family. Thanksgiving is something that we ought to be participating in every day of our lives. I think that God's people ought to be the most thankful people on the face of the earth. What do we really have to complain about? What do we really have to be upset about when we know for sure that we're going to spend eternity with him? Oh, I know, we could face some difficulties and some troubles and some trials down here, but that which is going to be revealed in us is so much greater and so much better than the burdens of this life. We ought to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I wonder today what you've thanked the Lord for. I wonder what you've said to him, Father, thank you so much for all that you've done for me. And I don't mean the way that we tend to pray for our food. Dear Lord, thank you for this food. Bless it to our bodies. Amen. Eat. That's how we sometimes categorize our thanksgiving. But I mean, we ought to really be thoughtful about our thanksgiving. But we ought to try to dig deep and think about how grateful we are to God. We ought to think about all the things that he has done for us. What do you have tonight that you don't owe to him? If you have blessing in your life, that's because it came from God. And you ought to direct your thanksgiving to God. If you find yourself feeling blue and down and discouraged, the best remedy for that I know is to start intentionally giving thanks to God. Start thanking God for all the things that he has done for you. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. The gates are that which denote the entrance into the presence of the Lord. The courts, that's the place when you are in the presence of the Lord. That's the place where you are having an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You say, what is it that I ought to talk to God about when I come into his presence, when I'm there with him? Well, come into his gates with thanksgiving. Come into his courts with praise. If thanksgiving is thanking God for the things that he's given to us, praise is worshiping God for who he is and all that he has done, not just for us. Thanksgiving can sometimes be a little bit self-centered, but praise can be really focused upon the character of God. In this place, you can use the names of God. You can think about the revealed nature of God, what he is like that the Bible tells us that we ought to be praising him for, and you can allow your mind to meditate upon those things and be stayed upon the character of God. By the way, that's a much better place to stay your mind and your thoughts than on the worries and the concerns of the day. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We as God's people ought to be a praising people. We ought to be a thanking people. We ought to be worshiping the name of our God. And now we come to verse 5 and we ask the question, why? I mean, why? Why should I make a joyful noise? Why should I serve the Lord with gladness? Why should I come before his presence with singing? Why should I know that the Lord, he is God? Why should I enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise? I mean, why should I do that? Well, verse 5 answers that question. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. The Lord is good. Do you know the name God means good? God is good. All the time, God is good. In the good times and the bad times, God is good. One thing that will always remain the same is that God is good. Now, it's likely that during your life, there will be seasons when you will question the goodness of God. When you will wonder about some things that you are observing, maybe things that are happening in your life or in someone else's life, and You may find yourself questioning whether, in fact, God is good. But this is an anchoring truth that we build our lives upon. God is good. No matter what happens, my confidence is in this truth. God is good. I may not always understand. I may not always see the evidence of His goodness, but I can hang my hat on the truth that God is good. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. When I think about the goodness of God, I'm reminded that all goodness originates with Jehovah, and all that God does is characterized as good. Whatever God does is good. And here's another awesome truth for me as a believer. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Because God is good, if you are His child and you love Him, you can be sure that even the difficult things that take place in your life, God is going to work those together for good in your life because He is a good Heavenly Father. He gives good gifts to His children. Some of you dads think, boy, I'd want to give good gifts to my children. Well, if you feel that way, then you ought to understand that God has expressed that a million times more. He is a good Father. We tend to judge God by ourselves rather than the other way around. And this is a mistaken idea of goodness. Sometimes we look at the circumstances of life and we say, well, I wouldn't have done that. How can God be good if He does that? Well, you're not the standard to be judging by. He is the standard. Now again, there will be things you don't understand, things that confuse you for sure. But understand this, that in the midst of it all, the anchoring truth that we cling to is God is good. And I think sometimes you have to cling to that truth even when you don't feel like it. Even when inside of you you're wondering about the goodness of God, there is a truth that you say, no, I know that God is good. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Aren't you thankful tonight that God deals with us according to mercy? The word mercy means God does not give to us that which we deserve. I'm thankful tonight that God has not given me what I deserve. I'm thankful that God has operated towards me with mercy and grace. I am blessed abundantly, and I'm telling you folks tonight, I don't deserve that. God's mercy towards me has been very real, and His mercy is everlasting. In other words, the truth of His mercy, the reality of His mercy is something that we can expect to extend on into eternity. It is something that will continue on. Tonight, I ask you to answer the question for yourself. Where would you be without the mercy of God? Where would you be with an assembly of believers tonight if it wasn't for the mercy of God? Would you be in the place where you are tonight if it wasn't for the mercy of God? Where would you be and what would you be doing tonight if it wasn't for the mercy of God? His mercy endureth. It's everlasting. But then He says this in the conclusion of verse 5, and His truth endureth to all generations. The mercy and truth of God are met together here. We know that God's mercy and truth are met together in the person of Jesus Christ. But here we're reminded in verse 5, God's truth endures to all generations. You know, the psalm that we're reading here is an ancient psalm. It's thousands of years old. But the truth of Psalm 100 is just as real today as it was when it was written first. It's just as real to us today as it was to those who sang this psalm as they went up into the temple. God's truth endures to all generations. You may find today that the truth of God is out of style. You may find that there are those who don't really have much respect for the truth of God. They don't have much regard for the truth of God. But I want you to understand that even if God's truth goes out of style, it will always be truth. People may not always appreciate it, but it'll always be right. It'll always be true. Tonight, every generation can be assured of the same standard of truth because the truth belongs to Him. It is His truth. You know, as I look around at those who've gathered here together tonight, I see young people, I see some older folks, I see some middle-aged folks. And you know, the truth is, God's truth is the same for every generation that is here tonight. God's truth is the same for the oldest person in our church and the youngest person in our church. God's truth is not going to change for the next generation that's coming up. Think about that tonight. God's truth doesn't change. That's because God, who is a God of truth, never changes. His truth will always be the same. This gives me great confidence because I know that whatever God says, it's always going to be the same. Never going to have to worry about Him being capricious or somehow changing His mind, but God will always have the same opinion. He's always going to speak the same truth. He's never going to change His way of operating. We can be thankful tonight that His truth endureth. This gives us tremendous security. This gives us a tremendous confidence and a place to build our lives. So because of these things, because God is good, because His mercy is everlasting, because His truth endureth to every generation tonight we can praise God. Tonight we can be thankful to Him. Tonight we can worship His name. Tonight we can serve Him. We can make a joyful noise to Him because I'm telling you, He is worthy of all that and more. What a great God we serve. Make a joyful noise tonight unto the Lord. Serve Him with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God, it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We're His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. What a privilege it is. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Worship Him tonight, the one who is worthy of your worship and praise.